This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Welcome back to the Paracast with Gene and Chris, except that we won't be hearing from Chris O'Brien today, and there's a simple reason. Chris is on special assignment over there in the mysterious valley. He is not near an internet connection. I tried to contact him on his mobile phone, and it's in, it's out. I don't want to subject you to the poor quality audio. So we'll be hearing more from Chris next week. He'll have lots to say, possibly about his trip, although we hope he got a few days of relaxation. Now, last week we had a simply fascinating episode. We featured James Carrion. He's a former international director of MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. And he came out with a book called The Rosetta Deception, which takes us back to the times of World War II and the Cold War and the efforts of particularly the U.S. and Britain to kind of spook the Russians into thinking that maybe we were far more advanced in some of our developments than we really were. Now, he talks about setting up this Rosetta Deception, which essentially included some crack intelligence agents, including Rear Admiral Roscoe Henry Hillenkoetter, who had become the first head of the CIA somewhat later. Now, according to Carrion, some of the early so-called UFO sightings, like the ghost rockets, well, it was just a put-up job. They weren't real UFOs. And he also has a subsequent book coming out, which is about the Roswell deception. So it's clear he feels that the Roswell UFO affair was not a spaceship, not something strange, but perhaps a put-up job again, maybe a test aircraft, a balloon, who knows. It's true that the Roswell case kind of disappeared after the first flurry of information. First, there's a story that they've captured a real flying disc. A few hours later, it says, no, it's just a balloon. And that pretty much put an end to the story until the late 1970s, when Stanton Friedman and Bill Moore and Charles Berlitz were digging, and they put together a book on the Roswell incident that became a bestseller and fueled interest in the case on the part of a lot of people. So what can I say? It doesn't mean there was no Roswell UFO. Certainly it's part of our pop culture. Perhaps it is as they claim. Perhaps they did recover bodies of dying or dead aliens there. Perhaps it's already being held at, what, Hangar 18 or something, or Hangar 17 at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. I know that researcher Kevin Randall, along with his so-called Roswell Dream Team, they're trying to put together all the information as a cold case and see if they can come up with final answers. The key, of course, is that pretty much all the witnesses are no longer here. A lot of the testimony is secondhand, thirdhand, maybe some documents will be found. But we hope that if there is a case there that's been kept a secret for, what, 67 years or so, we'll get a handle on it. And I look forward to seeing what James Carrion has to say. I was pleased, though, that we didn't get the negative reaction I expected in the Paracast forums about the show. Partly because Carrion is very skeptical in his approach, and he seems to be less inclined to accept the possibility of unknowns, although he doesn't dismiss the possibility. But it's certainly true that we should really pay heed to the fact that it's possible that early intelligence efforts may have generated UFO sightings, test aircraft, may have generated UFO sightings, particularly in those early years, it doesn't mean there are no spaceships or interdimensional UFOs. It doesn't mean that the thousands of people who saw UFOs didn't see something that's an unknown, that we still do not understand. But if there is an element that involves disinformation, intelligence efforts, whatever, we should find out about it. Let's get back to Rear Admiral Helen Carter. Okay. Later on, he joined a classmate of his, Major Donald Kehoe. They went to the Naval Academy together at NICAP, the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, where Rear Admiral Helen Carter, obviously retired, became a member of their board of governors. Now, we have to look at perceptions here. We have NICAP, which in the 50s and 60s fought against what they called UFO secrecy. And then you look at a board of governors heavily laden with ex-military. And certainly having the former head of the CIA among that group, even if he's a classmate, former classmate of Major Kehoe, a close friend, you know, it doesn't look very good, does it? And over the years, there were suspicions that NICAP was just a disinformation operation. Now, I don't necessarily believe that. I think they were very sincere in what they did. I did meet Major Kehoe several times over the years, and he appeared to be perfectly sincere in his belief that UFOs were spaceships, that the government knew the truth. But, you know, appearances count for a lot. And when you have an organization filled with intelligence people, the first question you ask is why? Why do you need to have all these people there knowing that some will suspect the organization and its motives? Surely he could find 10 or 12 people in civilian life with nothing more than modest military credentials, possibly serving a tour of duty or two, to be part of his organization. But NICAP is essentially long gone. But that was the way things were back in the early days of UFO research. I should recommend a site that actually we run from our server. It's managed by Kurt Collins, who's been on the show a number of times. He has explored the Cash Landrum case. But he also is the curator of JimMosley.com. That's JimMosley.com in honor of my late friend James W. Mosley, or Jim Mosley. He was the editor-publisher of Saucer Smear. In the early days, he had a magazine called Nexus that later became Saucer News. And very recently, they reprinted what's called the Adamski Exposé issue of Saucer News over at JimMosley.com. That's where they take apart, step by step, the original claims in 1952 by George Adamski that he met E.T. in the California desert, rips them apart. It's one of the best exposés ever of that case. And it astounds me, after all these years, that there are people out there who still believe that George Adamski really contacted E.T., that he had a genuine encounter with one or more aliens, after all these years, after this exposé. There was also evidence in that exposé issue, by the way, of the photographs that Adamski produced of UFOs being close-up pictures of small models. I think that's incontrovertible. I don't think there's any reason to doubt it. But again, you know, what is old is new again, and maybe people who didn't read the exposés of Adamski way back in the early years may still believe his claims were true. Maybe he did have an experience early on, the same as possibly other contactees. And maybe he decided to find a way to promote those claims. I don't know. Once again, JimMosley.com, and the site's managed by Kurt Collins and run from our server. And we are pleased that Kurt has decided to dedicate his time and energy for it. Today, we're going to talk about pretty much traditional UFO research. And we're going to be speaking with Stan Gordon, a Pennsylvania-based paranormal researcher. He covers UFOs, Bigfoot, lots of interesting subjects. And, of course, this weekend there's a Kecksburg UFO festival in honor of the crashed Kecksburg UFO back in the 1960s. For those listeners who are new to the show, and every week we hear from lots of people who haven't heard the show before, I'm going to ask Stan right at the beginning to quickly sum up Kecksburg. I'm going to ask him also if he thinks it was just a military test aircraft. That's certainly apt considering what's going on. Once again, Chris O'Brien's on assignment in a place where he's unable to connect to the internet or cell phone. Lots more to come. Stan Gordon coming up. You're in the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Adam Miller here with Midas Resources. Today, July 25th, 2014, gold opened at $1,295.60. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,342.71, $671.35 for half ounce, or $335.68 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,342.71, $671.35, and $335.68.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes.
Okay. Can you sell the intangible?
If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable, and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise at GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You're in the Paracast with Gene and Chris. Chris is on special assignment at a location where there is no internet connection, where the cell phone system simply doesn't work. What we mean is, like, every third word vanishes into digital haze. Stan Gordon, you're talking from a landline, right?
That's correct.
So we don't have to worry about digital haze.
You're correct.
Okay. I just wonder, in this day and age, hundreds of millions of people have wireless phones, and there are parts of this country and other countries you can travel to where reception is either non-existent or simply unacceptable. After all these years, we can't get it together. We need ET's help, I think.
That's it. Well, you'd be surprised. There's quite a number of areas here in Pennsylvania where I go out to investigate deep in the woods or down in the valleys, and there's very little cell phone signal. So even some of the areas not that far away from populated areas, we're having some problems.
Well, I lived in Pennsylvania like many, many years ago, back in the 1970s, and still some of the greatest years of my life, but life has taken us elsewhere. But I lived in southeast Pennsylvania, near Downingtown, Coatesville area. You're familiar with that?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And I remember then I was working as news director for a local radio station, and they had UFO sightings reported in the area. And I was news director, supposedly a serious reporter, and I'd run the stories and follow up on them. Fortunately, the management of the station indulged me, which doesn't happen very often, and they let me get away with it.
So what year would that have been, Gene?
Oh, heavens, early 70s. You remember when they had...
Sure, and I was probably involved in a lot of those investigations because I know the names of those towns, and I know we had many cases in the early 70s down that general area, so I probably was looking through a lot of those reports.
Kennett Square, Pennsylvania. I remember
Kennett
something
Square,
happening
sure.
there.
Outside of Philadelphia.
Right. This is about 40 miles west of Philadelphia in
Chester
County.
There was a lot of activity down in that area during the 70s, during the 80s, and the 90s, and I still get reports. I just had a very interesting sighting happen down, probably not too far from there, down in Snyder County on Monday. And I think it's down that not too far from that area, so I'd have to look on the map.
Well, unfortunately, the station I worked for completely switched from just regular music, middle-of-the-road music, easy-listening music, to religion. So it's run by something called the Holy Spirit Radio Foundation nowadays. So even if we wanted to get the show to be carried in that area, it wouldn't be WCOJ. Unless they change format. You see, with radio stations, you know, they buy them, they sell them, they change formats every day. Stan, for our new listeners, can you tell us what attracted you to UFOs? Because you've been doing it for, I guess, most of your life.
Well, this year will be 55 years.
You must be very tired.
I'm tired, but still interested and still very, very busy getting lots of reports in on a regular basis, still investigating cases, still out there educating the public on these events. And so I'm very busy, and I still have to tell you, Gene, after all these years, I have still never seen a UFO or Bigfoot myself. Interviewed thousands of witnesses, seen a lot of evidence out in the field we gathered, but I've never had a personal encounter.
Kind of like me. Seriously, I may have seen something once with my first wife, Geneva, back in the late 60s. Otherwise, I went out on a lot of these investigations in the early years, not so much now.
To answer your question, how I got involved so early was my birthday, my 10th birthday is when I really got involved in this field back in 1959. How I got involved, my birthday happened to be during the Halloween season, and my parents gave me a new radio, an AM radio, as a birthday gift. And I was turning around the AM radio dial that night, and there was some radio shows talking about strange and unusual events, from haunted houses to ghosts, flying saucers and strange creatures. And, well, at 10 years old, I was already really interested in science and electronics, and I spent a lot of time out in the woods gathering samples, looking at my microscope, and I heard these stories, and I wanted to know, are these people making these things up, or is there something to it? So I began to make a lot of frequent visits to the local Greensburg Library, where I live, and read all the books they had. I began to read all the papers very cautiously to see if there was any news stories about unusual happenings. I would clip articles out and make scrapbooks. And if something would appear in the local paper, somebody claimed to have seen a UFO, for example, I called them on the phone and asked them to tell me the story about what they saw, and I kept records of it. And that's what I did for a long time. And then I was 16 years old when the incident happened near Kecksburg, which is about 12 miles from where I live in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. And I got involved with it the night it happened, which I can tell you that story as well. It, how it all broke and how the Kecksburg event came to my attention was I was tuned into KDK radio in Pittsburgh. And you remember KDK was one of the big stations in the country.
Let's just pause for a second and explain this. You have these so-called Clear Channel radio stations, not like Clear Channel, the company that owns, you know, thousands of stations and has the premier radio networks and everything. We're talking about a station that's on a lower frequency in the AM dial. Because there is no real competition from other stations, they could radiate in all directions. And with 50,000 watts, they could be heard in a number of states. For example, you were mentioning discussions of UFOs. Another station that had that was WOR 710, and Long John Nebel would run his show every night, five nights a week, from New York City, 1440 Broadway in New York City, and he featured all these discussions about UFOs, and that's one way I kept interested in the subject. We'll talk a little bit now about Kecksburg. We're going to have to pause for a moment for our benefactors. Let's start with Kecksburg. For the sake of new listeners, if you heard this all before, well, tolerate it for a second. Okay. So Kecksburg occurs, you're 16 years old.
Yep, it's December 9th, 1965.
Okay.
It's a Thursday evening. I'm tuned in to KDK Radio to listen to a radio talk show. It's called Contact. And the host of the show was a late Mike Levine. And the reason I was listening to that show is because he had a guest on whose name you will remember was Frank Edwards, who was a reporter who had written some books on unusual happenings and flying saucers, and I was tuned in to listen to him. What was most interesting is that pretty much the entire show was spotlighting this UFO incident, which had just happened a short time before. The news was just breaking. They were reading the newswire stories that were just starting to come over. They were interviewing reporters and local witnesses. And what we were learning at that time was this brilliant fireball had been seen from Ontario, Canada, over Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. And according to the reports coming in, that object, whatever it was, came in over the greater Pittsburgh area that afternoon. It was just getting dark, almost dark, about 4:47 p.m., and it was a very interesting program. Well, as the evening went on, this began to be the major news story throughout the area. And it was being broadcast on radio and even on the KDK TV. They were breaking in with live reports that evening that the military was now arriving in the Kecksburg area, that small farming community, to search for an unidentified flying object. It was a fascinating night to remember. And I wasn't even driving yet. I had no way to get out there. And I was running back and forth between my old black and white console TV and the radio stations trying to get all the latest information. And it kept on all night. It was the big primary news story. There was a lot of discussion about it. Well, I was hopeful that the next day this would make some of the newspapers. And it, in fact, was the headline of all the local papers in the area.
You know, let's just pause this here and then we'll go into that. I remember the days when UFOs would actually get covered in the major newspapers of the day. Stan Gorton joins us. You're in the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news is absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Spring time is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
I'm the Paracast with Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien. Chris is off on special assignment in an area where there's no cell phone reception, no access to the Internet. We have Pennsylvania-based UFO paranormal investigator Stan Gorton. And he's talking about the fact that the day after the Kecksburg UFO sighting reports that he heard on radio and television, they appeared in the newspapers, major headlines. And what did they report?
Well, the local paper here, the Greensburg Tribune, if you had two editions at the time, the morning edition had the headline, Army Ropes Off Area, Unidentified Flying Object Falls Near Kecksburg. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and the Pittsburgh Press both had headlines pertaining to the UFO incident. The later edition of the Greensburg Tribune Review had a number of different stories and interviews, but the one that attracted my attention right away was searchers failed to find object. So it went on to say that, you know, this object reportedly fell down into this wooded ravine, that there were multitudes of witnesses out at the scene who had come from all over the Pittsburgh area, because as this story is breaking and they're broadcasting it on the news, hundreds of people from throughout western Pennsylvania began to descend on the small farming community to try to get a look of whatever it was that fell down into the woods. They were, of course, stopped by the authorities. They weren't able to get down in. And not only did you have the fact that you had a lot of citizens, but you had reporters from all the major news facilities, from Pittsburgh radio, newspaper, and TV, who came out there as well. And many of them became witnesses themselves because they either saw military personnel or equipment or interacted with the military at different levels. So I interviewed those people as well. So they became part of the story. As I was telling you earlier, you know, the addition of the treatment had searchers fail to find object and went on to say that there was a search in the area, but apparently witnesses had been mistaken. This is the official line now, that people had seen a bright meteor in the sky, but nothing had fallen to the ground. And that's officially the end of the story. The only official document that had ever surfaced on the case was from the Project Blue Book file. and it doesn't list it under Kecksburg. It lists it under Acme, Pennsylvania. And I felt for a long time, the reason for that is because I know that an Air Force officer interviewed some of family members who were involved in the case, who lived within walking distance of where the object fell, but their mailing address was under Acme rather than Kecksburg. These are very, very little small communities. So they have different mailing addresses, and it was under Acme, so I thought that's why they probably live under Acme, Pennsylvania. But anyhow, you know, as this story is circulating, I remember within days after it happened that there was a lot of talk around this area from people who were around there that night who saw this large military flatbed tractor trailer truck carrying this large tarp object down the area at a high rate of speed around 1 o'clock in the morning. Of course, that was never in the newspapers, but initially, nothing fell, nothing was found. But, you know, I spent, well, this year's going to be 49 years of research on the case. And I started basically the day the story broke. And I began to try to track down people who were involved to get information, but there was very little to get at the time. This was a small community. I really knew hardly anybody around that area. There were a few names in the paper. But as I began to try to gather information, put word out that I was looking for information over a period of weeks and months and years, well, since then, I've now interviewed hundreds of people who were involved in the case. We've been able to put together quite a lot of information. Even though there's unanswered questions, we put a lot of the case together. So one thing we now know is this. Whatever this object was, as it came over the greater Pittsburgh area that afternoon, and multitudes of people were calling into the local news media, to the police departments, because a lot of people thought that what they saw, this brilliant fiery object, may have been an airplane that may have exploded in the sky or was on fire. And this object continued out into Westmoreland County, came over my hometown, over the city of Greensburg. But what we now know is it tracked out towards Route 30 East, but then it turned to the south. And various people along the small communities, they see this object continuing to move out in the distance over towards the mountains of Laurelville, and others around there saw it, and it turned and began to track back towards Kecksburg, made another turn, then dropped down into that wooded ravine. Now, the people I interviewed who saw it go down said it didn't go down at a high rate of speed, as if you'd have a reentry of space debris or a meteor coming in, but it came down almost like it was controlled. So what we now know is this. There were a number of independent people who apparently went down into the woods soon after it fell. They came across this large metallic acorn-shaped object, more than writing. One witness who was several feet away from it, he studied it pretty well. And for years after, he went to libraries to search and learn about ancient writings. And he said the closest thing he could recall from what he tried to remember of seeing was ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Let me ask you very quickly here. There is, therefore, no record of anyone actually recording what this labeling involved. It was just a memory that
it
looked like hieroglyphics.
Years later, correct.
Okay.
Anyhow, there are multitudes of stories, and you have to see the layout of the land where this happened, because there was a small, narrow country road that paralleled along this very big wooded area. And it was up on top of that hill that overlooks that whole village area where hundreds of people jammed out the road that night. That's where reporters were, and many people were, trying to get a look at this thing. But by the time they get there, it's dark. So basically, they're seeing a lot. They're seeing some authorities and people up where they are. But what they didn't realize was most of the activity was way down the opposite side of the woods. They wouldn't be able to see down there. You could not possibly see where the object fell from any of the surrounding roads. Even in daylight, you couldn't possibly see it. You'd have to be down in the ravine to see where this object fell. So anyhow, we now know that some individual civilians got in there first. Then later, there were some volunteer firemen that came in and came across the object, and then the military came in. There are multitudes of amazing stories. People did, how they interacted with the military. And the fact now that a number of people have gone on public record and stated that soldiers who came out to that area, they're on other people's private property. They're preventing other civilians from going down into the ravine to see what was down there. And in some cases, they are aiming their weapons at civilians.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Let me ask you something here. We have to kind of move this fast because we've covered some of this before. So let's cut to the chase here. Now, the hieroglyphic type of writing, and how many people, by the way, confirm that particular version of the story?
I can can't say exactly. It would not be big numbers. I mean, I can think of 3, 4. I'm just going to guess. And again, after so many years talking to so many people, and there were people, again, who saw it on the flatbed truck. And some people were able to see the hieroglyphic markings when it moved by on the flatbed. One other witness, Blake Terry Betters, was well-known in the area as a jazz musician. He saw it coming up out of the field on the Army flatbed, but for whatever reason, at that point, the tarp was not on it or was off of it. So he could see the markings on that as well. So there were different people who saw it at different locations. I'm going to say probably under 10.
Okay, so 10 people saw this. Did they all describe essentially the same type of lettering?
Oh, yeah, very much. I mean, it's very much not everybody was as close as, a few people who got down into the ravine and saw it. So we know at least a handful of people were close enough down in the field that they were able to get a look. But it wasn't until years and years later that they really gave it much thought. Because the next day when it's in the paper and the government saying there was nothing down there, they all just kept their mouth shut. I mean, they told relatives and a couple of friends, but for years and years and years, they kept it very, very quiet.
Well, there's also been changes to the government's description. Like, for example, I understand back in 2005, they claimed what was there were the remnants of a Russian satellite. But since when do the Russians use hieroglyphic lettering? Yes, maybe the Egyptians had a secret space program that we knew nothing about.
Right. Well, there were a number of different possible origins for the object. And one of the first things that we looked into, because it was interesting, because we uncovered some information which indicated that a Soviet Venus probe, Cosmos 96, had coincidentally reentered the Earth's atmosphere at 3:18 a.m. in the morning in Canada.
Let's stop it there. Let me stop it there and do the break. In Canada, all right. Let's follow that and see if there's any relationship. With Stan Gordon joining us, you're on with Gene and Chris. Chris, of course, is here in spirit this week. But you are in the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I didn't believe it.
Neither did I.
No way could you professionally remove unwanted hair, pain-free, and at home.
My thoughts exactly.
Remove my face and body hair without expensive, painful office visits?
Not possible. Great minds think alike.
Until I tried No-No Pro.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you tried No-No?
Yes, and it works. I use it on my face, legs, bikini line.
We're BFFs, and you didn't tell me about No-No?
Here, this is my new No-No Pro. The most powerful No-No made. Custom treatment levels, less hair and less time, perfect for any skin type. Try it.
No hair, no pain, no time. Consuming expensive office visits?
No, no, and no, no.
For a limited time, you can try No-No Pro risk-free. You'll also get the facial kit and a travel case. Get weeks of long-lasting results.
That's it. I'm getting a No-No.
Great minds do think alike.
Try No-No Pro risk-free by calling 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760. That's 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760.
What good is a big Berkey water filter? We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care, chiropractic done right.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Here on the Paracast, we're going to wrap up in this segment the description of the Kecksburg UFO case from December of 1965. Okay, so a Soviet space probe is described as one possibility. So, yay or nay, Stan Gordon?
Well, the information we have, and there was a lot of research done over the years on it, but first of all, what we know about Cosmos 96, it didn't have the capability to come in slowly, make changes of direction, make a slow descent. And it was much smaller in size compared to what witnesses described out at the scene. There was some contact made, I know, years ago with some of the news media, and later I had contact with the Russian Space Agency, and they indicated that there was no indication that Cosmos 96 had any relationship with what fell down in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. Can I remember, they had some really good tracking facilities, just like we did back in those days. If some of the others had fallen, they would have wanted it back. And there was never a paper trail found where that was requested. So there's many, many unanswered questions. I've had numerous people over the years contact me and say they knew for sure what the Kecksburg object was. There were many different origins we heard from the first one at the time it happened, was when an Air Force officer told members of a family who were involved that a Gemini capsule had been expelled in the area, which, of course, we know that was never the case. And then another one of other different possibilities of people calling me was one guy said he was certain it was a Soviet ICBM. Another one said he was sure that it was some type of projectile that was fired from a giant gun on a railroad car in Canada. And, of course, in more recent years, people have been inquiring, is could this be the Soviet Nazi Bell? But once again, I've never seen any indication or any evidence that the two are related. But there's many facets of this case, which are very, very interesting. I'm not sure if we even got into it in prior shows before. One thing that's not as well known that has come up is information now that there is the possibility that someone or something may have been inside, which we didn't know that years ago.
What about the possibility? This was one of our test aircraft, which is one, why it was retrieved so quickly, number two, why they didn't say very much about it.
you know, after so many years of doing research on the case, I keep an open mind still as to what the origin of the object was. I mean, if you remember back in the early days of the space program, almost everything I can recall seeing Soviet or U.S., you saw a lot of rivets and weld marks and seams. According to witnesses, this was like one smooth, tall piece of metal, which was kind of interesting in the way it was designed as well. The other thing that came up is when I was producing my documentary on the case called Textbook Untold Story, one of the people I interviewed was a fellow named Myron, and he had worked for a large supply house in Ohio at the time this event happened. Myron was one of many, many people that contacted me after we did the season premiere in 1990 for the Unsolved Mysteries TV show. When he called me, he said, I guess I'm allowed to talk about it now since it's on television. So Myron went on to tell me that he was one of two truck drivers who had taken a special order of glazed engineering brick to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base several days after the object had been recovered in Pennsylvania. First truck driver, for quite a while, he didn't really want to discuss it too much. The late Len Springfield was involved in some of this research with me as well, investigation. He got the interview, and then I talked to him as well. And later he did confirm that he took the first load of bricks into Wright-Patterson. They were escorted in, and he saw the military flatbed trailer with the tarped object outside of this building the day before. The next day when he and Myron went, that was not there anymore. So they were told just to do your job, unload these pallets of brick, just do what you're supposed to be doing. But as the day went on, Myron got curious because he was seeing these men in white coveralls with some type of protective gear and sidearms, and they were periodically changing, I believe, like their gloves and some of their outer clothing, as I recall. He was wondering what was going on inside this warehouse building. So when he didn't see anybody around, he ran over into the entrance, and he saw up on scaffoldings, he saw this large metallic acorn-shaped object described as very much like the other witnesses. It describes seeing the hieroglyphic markings. These guys are up on ladders, and apparently they're trying to get inside this thing. So apparently at one point, Myron started asking some questions, and one fellow must have thought he had clearance, and they soon realized he didn't, and Myron was threatened and pretty much told that you're never to talk about what you see, or we'll throw you in jail and throw away the keys, but in 20 years, this will all be public knowledge, which, of course, never happened.
49 years ago, the Kecksburg UFO occurs. Looking at it in 2014, do we know anything new in recent years that maybe hasn't been disclosed before, or will correct maybe a few assumptions on the part of people about the case that are wrong?
Well, you know, in recent years, I found a few other witnesses who I've talked to, people who were on the scene that night, people who were basically among the crowd that saw the military people. So, unfortunately, nothing earth-shattering, nothing that's going to, unfortunately, close the case that we would like to close the case after almost 50 years. There are many, many different events, you know, we could talk about on this case that are just so interesting, a lot of personal interactions with people, what happened out there with the military. What we have found in more recent years, a couple of things, is one, we now know that there were two military flatbed tractor trailer trucks at the scene. One went out earlier, and the second one went out around 1 o'clock in the morning with the object on it. And in the summer of 1990, before we did the Unsolved Mystery Show, is when this man made contact with me. And I was able to check out his background, and he told me he was a part of the Air Force Security Team, or Air Force Security Police, that guarded the object at Lockbourne Air Force Base near Columbus, Ohio, when it came into the base during the early morning hours of December the 10th. And what he told us was that they backed the flatbed with the tarped object into a hangar. They set up a security perimeter, and the security was extremely tight. He said they were given a shoot-to-kill order to anybody approach that hangar without the proper authority. Now, he also told me he, for whatever reason, didn't stay on the team much longer that night. He had something else he was assigned to do. But he heard that the flatbed didn't stay at the base that long. It continued on to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And that's later where other people independently contacted me and told me exactly what building it went to. Now, of course, we have no idea where it might be at today.
We have a few questions from our listeners about Kecksburg. Before we leave that subject, let's start with them. We may have to continue through our next segment. Let's go on. This is from Burnt State. Now, Burnt State is a very loyal listener to the show. He's been around in our forums for a little over 2 years, posted nearly 2,000 messages. So he's very energetic about it. So first, in looking through your independent documentary and in reading through the literature, there are a bit of discrepancies regarding the size of what crashed in the woods. One reporter in your documentary claimed that what was on the flatbed truck was about the size of two suitcases only. Others claim it was the size of a VW Beetle. So how big was it?
Right, and that's exactly true because, as I just mentioned, we are aware after a number of years now that there were two flatbed tractor trailers. The one that went out earlier had what appeared to be a lower, longer, flatter, whatever it was covered by the tarp. But the object that went out later that night around 1 o'clock in the morning had the acorn-shaped object on it that went to Lockbourne Air Force Base.
Okay, second question. Do you have any confirmation of unique bricks or ceramic tiles actually being shipped to Wright-Patterson to be used to entomb the object?
No, nope. I had very specific details and information and a lot of information. The people involved did not want their company name involved, but we had a lot of specific information and details at that time. Do I have an order or anything to show? Unfortunately, we do not.
Final question. Did the witness Romanski ever draw the symbols he saw on the object so that it could be verified that this was not a recognizable human language? This gets back to our discussion about hieroglyphics.
Okay. We didn't find him until 1987. It was just by sheer luck that I had a very large UFO display in one of the local malls, which thousands of people came out to. And it was August of 87 that we just had a small little display on Texburg, and he and his family happened to be walking by, and he was listening to one of my associates talking to a person about the case, and he said, excuse me, you talking about that incident out in Texburg? And they said, yeah. And he said, well, I was on the search team that found the object. Right away, he said he'd be willing to talk to us. He didn't want to get publicly involved. He didn't want his family involved. But that led to multitudes of interviews. Later, us meeting him out in the general area, us telling him nothing about what we knew, and him taking us to a particular location in the woods from certain landmarks we remembered from memory. And then a year later, that same exact location being confirmed by a second witness who we got a lead on, which is Bill Bullybush. And later, a third person, a young boy who lived nearby, who was down in the woods the next day, he independently took us to the same location as well. Anyhow, Jim, it was till years later that he's trying to recall some of the details of those symbols. And if you go to my website, and if you click on under Texburg incident, you will see a depiction there of the object, and you scroll down a little, and you'll see those symbols on there. This was done by artist Dave Sankey over in the United Kingdom. Those symbols are the best that Jim Romanski could remember to his memory. So that's as close as we have as to what they may look like, and they're not in any specific order because we just can't be sure after so many years.
All right, more to come with Stan Gordon. You're in the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Do good people ever want to call an attorney just to find out if they're right or wrong? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what are you forced to think about first? Money. If you could call as often as you wanted and talk as long as you need without a bill, would you call? Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.